give it another shot.
Hello, hello, hello. Am I coming through on the real server at all? Hello, hello, hello. Hello, 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 hello.
Ow. What was that?
You haven't heard me yet?
Brian, this is the AT&T operator.
Uh-huh.
Hi, this is the AT&T operator. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Is this Mr. Garrett?
Hi.
Mr. Garrett, this is the AT&T operator. Is anyone on the line with me?
Can you hear me?
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Hi, good morning. This is Martha with AT&T.
8, 9, 10, 7, 1, 2, check.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, check, 1, 2, check, 1, 2, that's a little soft, talking softly, okay, check, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Good morning. I wonder if we could get organized to begin, please.
Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to the ICANN press conference to announce our selections for testbed registrars. I'm Mike Roberts. I'm the interim president and CEO of ICANN. I'm going to introduce the people we have at the head table. We have some brief remarks, leave a good amount of time for questions and answers. From my left, at the moment, we have a virtual Bill Burrington, who is the Vice President for Policy of America Online, Ken Stubbs, Chair of the Executive Committee of CORE, Olivier Morand, who is the Vice President of France Telecom, Peter Gerond, who is the CEO of Melbourne IT, and Richard Foreman, who is the President and CEO of Com. On my right is Esther Dyson, who is the Chairman of the Board of Directors of ICANN, Andrew Pincus, who is the General Counsel of the Department of Commerce, Andrew McLaughlin, who is staff to ICANN and has headed up the team which has done our accreditation work that brought us to these selections in this press conference today, and Joe Sims, who is Chief Counsel to ICANN from the firm of Jones Day, Revis, and Pope. At this time, I'd like Esther Dyson to make some remarks.
It's a great pleasure for me to be on behalf of the initial board of ICANN, of which I am interim chairman. What I'd like to do is set the stage for what is really an exciting announcement, probably more for a lot of other people in the room than the board, because we came in relatively late. The work that happened was also done not by the board, but by our excellent staff led by Mike, both presidents on the board, Andrew McLaughlin, Louis Tuton, who's in the audience, Suzanne Wolf, also in the audience, and Joe Sims, our general counsel. They did a huge amount of work. They're going to be continuing to do a huge amount of work, because our job right now is not simply to accredit registrars, but to make sure that the test actually works, that we learn something from it, that what we learn from it is shared, so that the people who have the initial test, while being honored and recognized today, are not actually the lucky ones, because they too are the ones who are going to be doing a lot of work and learning by making mistakes. And there's a nice field of at least 25 people coming after them, ready to start at the end of June. But even so, we are not the ones doing the real work. Our goal at ICANN is to set policies and procedures so that the market can do the work. We want to be lightweight. We want to be there in case there are disputes or problems when policies need to be made. But we're trying not to grow our staff, although right now they're a little overworked, and simply to let them make the whole thing work. So today what we have is, to recoin a phrase, a few small steps for three domains and one giant leap for domain kind. What we're doing now, I spend a lot of time in Central and Eastern Europe. What we're doing now is manage a transition from a set of rules that may or may not be perceived as fair, but they were the rules by which people played. New set of rules of open markets and competition. And our challenge is to manage that transition fairly, to balance a variety of competing interests, to recognize and reward investments people made, but then to make sure that the market takes its course. You're going to, I'm sure, have a lot of questions to ask us. And let me say up front, we're not ready. There are lots of things that are still undecided. That's why these people are test registrars. The registrations they perform will be real. People who register through them will have their domain names registered. But it is a test period. And therefore, in the best net tradition, we're going to go ahead anyway. And I would like to recognize Andy Pincus, who is only part of a very helpful government team. Take it over before I say something silly.
Thanks very much, and I really am here representing a number of people at the Commerce Department who have been working very hard to make this day happen. But I want to start also by thanking Esther Dyson and Mike Roberts and all the members of the ICANN board and staff, because they have done an enormous amount of work to first create an organization that responded to our call for the private sector to come together and take over, begin to take over domain name management responsibilities, and then to run this accreditation process. Since the president issued his framework for global electronic commerce, we at the Commerce Department have been working very hard to fulfill the two goals that he set for us with respect to domain name management. One, to privatize the system in a manner that preserves the stability of the Internet, and also to promote robust competition for domain name services. And as I said, that's been a task we've been working on for some time. We were pleased that the private sector responded to our call to create a new not-for-profit corporation to undertake DNS management responsibilities, and we were very pleased to recognize ICANN in November. Since that time, the ICANN board and staff has worked tirelessly, and sometimes I think thanklessly, to develop the rules of the road for DNS management and to make competition a reality. And this morning of the testbed registrars is how that work is paying off. We have five companies from around the world who are going to use diverse business models to provide competitive registration services. This group is impressive, and so is the group of 29 additional companies that will be ready to compete once the two-month test of the shared registration system is over and we're ready to move into the period of full competition. As Secretary Daley said in a statement that he issued this morning, the announcement is a significant step forward. These companies are ready, willing, and able to get out there and compete, and we believe strongly that the result will be more choice and lower prices for consumers. On another note, I want to announce that the Commerce Department and Network Solutions, Inc. have reached agreement on two additional steps that are necessary to allow the test bed to go forward. An interim agreement for these new test registrars to enter into with the NSI registry, and an interim price for the test bed period. These are, as I said, the two steps that were necessary in addition to accreditation to allow the test to proceed. More work remains to be done, but I'm confident that as we go down the road to full competition, we will also work out those issues. On the price, let me make clear that we've agreed during the interim phase one test period, NSI can charge a fee of $9 per registration per year. This fee does not reflect a price determination under Amendment 11, which we entered into with NSI last year, which required us to reach agreement on a price based on NSI's costs and a reasonable return on investment. Because we're in a test period, we agreed that it was appropriate to move forward with an interim price of $9 and to continue to work together as we look down the road to full competition to a price that would be set based on the Amendment 11 criteria. So I just want to reaffirm what Esther said. This is a big step forward on the road to competition. We're looking forward to a vigorous test, to working out the remaining issues, and then moving into phase two, full competition. Andrew Pincus, P-I-N-C-U-S, C-U-S, General Counsel at Commerce. Thanks.
Thanks, Andy. I think you stole my papers. Have to have a little bit of a script for this. Let me say a few words, and then the representatives of the testbed companies are going to say something, and then we're going to keep. Obviously, one of the questions is, how did these five companies get here? Well, first of all, they have worked very hard, along with many other companies, to prepare an outstanding set of applications to us. Until about 3 weeks ago, when the applications started coming, there was a considerable doubt, I think, not only within ICANN, but elsewhere, as to how many companies were interested and did they understand what they were getting into. I can say without qualification that the applications that we've received have fulfilled our expectations of people who understand the technical and operational and managerial and financial implications of being in this business. As any of you who have been involved in this and followed the white paper process, look at the white paper recommendations. The stability of the internet, in some measure, depends upon the fact that the routing system that is linked to the name system functions every day, everywhere in the world, precisely correctly. There are billions and billions of packets that don't get where they want to go without that system running correctly. So in addition to creating a free, open, competitive market for names, we have an obligation to make sure that the technical and operational side of the network continues to function and furthermore scales rapidly to meet an enormous demand that everybody sees every day in the papers and the media and the work that you people do. So we had a fine set of applications. We had a difficult time selecting the five that will participate in the test bed. The criteria we used were that they were exceptionally well qualified on the major dimensions of technical, operational, and financial understanding and capability and resources to dive into this 60-day period and help NSI work out any residual bugs in the shared registration system that NSI has been constructing and building for the last months, and furthermore that they were going to be able to work with the public, with consumers who are looking for choice in registering names in these names. Beyond that, we had three more criteria very interesting to us and were the subject of public comment in the period during which we developed the accreditation guidelines in January and March. And that was the capacity to participate actively in introducing competition into these three major domains. Secondly, that there was geographic diversity, so that the goal of the domain name system being a easily and readily accessible around the world could be realized. And third, that we had diversity with respect to business models that could participate actively in this business. There's been some speculation that this is a business that could only be open to very large corporate enterprises. I personally don't believe that. The ICANN board doesn't believe that. The Department of Commerce doesn't believe that. And so we have, with this group, one major small to medium-sized U.S. business that has very energetically prepared itself for this business, and we're very pleased that they're among the group. So what I'd like to do now is Bill has just arrived. Would Bill Burrington come up and, in fact, since he is alphabetically the first company on our list, we will pick on him to immediately say a few words on behalf of America Online. I'm sorry. I didn't hear the question. Yes, I'm Mike Roberts, Michael M. Roberts. I'm the interim president and chief executive officer of Bill.
Just in time.
This is why I wish I worked for Yahoo. Anyway, thank you very much. My name is Bill Burrington. I'm vice president of international public policy and head of the Washington office for AOL. First of all, I want to thank the ICANN team for their hard work. This has not been an easy task. Leadership is never easy, and leadership is not easy either. At AOL, we're very proud to be a part of this testbed phase of this important process for the future of the Internet, and it's definitely quite a bed that we're in, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. Today's announcement, to us at least, is proof positive that open, non-discriminatory competition is alive and well on the Internet, and we think that's very important. Given the history of this medium, open, non-discriminatory access to standards and technology is critical. It's what's made the Internet what it is today, and it's going to be really the framework going forward. And that's what really this process is all about, so we're delighted for that. To date, this process has been really a model of cooperation and partnership between government and the private sector, including NSI, ICANN, and the Commerce Department. So we want to thank them as well. So I think what we're doing here today, and I think what this announcement really means, is that we are writing yet another chapter in the history of the Internet. This is a very, very important chapter. So I'd like to say that today we can finally say we're going from ICANN to WECANN. Thank you.
Thanks very much. The next speaker is going to be Ken Stubbs. Kenneth Stubbs, who is the chair of the Executive Committee of the Council of Registrars.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Well, my name is Ken Stubbs. I'm chairman of CORE, the Internet Council of Registrars. CORE is an organization of companies located in 23 different countries and 100 American cities. And I want you to know that we at CORE are very pleased to see this major step in the transition process being taken here. We're honored to be chosen as one of the key organizations selected to play a significant role in effecting the movement towards more open global participation and competition in the domain name registration process. This is the first of many important changes which we feel will ultimately result in a more positive and open process for management of the expansion of the domain name system. We are very excited. We have between 20 and 30 of our registrars that will be immediately participating through our portal. These registrars are located all over the world, so we hope to add an extra dimension to the testbed process. We also would like to commend ICANN and the participating for their hard work and commitment to the spirit of the white paper process. And we look forward to the opportunity of playing an increasing role in the global transition of the Internet into the 21st century. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker will be Olivier, who is Vice President for Internet-related issues at France Telecom.
Bonjour. I wrote a long speech because the French people like speeches. So you have in your paper, you find a long version of the speech, but I will just deliver a short speech. So I am pleased to represent here France Telecom today, and I'm speaking on behalf of Jean-Michel Planche, who is the founder, president, and CEO of Olean. So I will just present Olean. Olean was created in 1989. It was a pioneer internet service provider in France because it was the internet service provider for businesses. While in Europe at this time, internet was especially for universities. Internet was developed in the universities framework, rather. And later, Olean opened an internet backbone in Europe for corporate customers. Last year, France Telecom acquired a majority stake in Olean. Now, why did France Telecom become involved in this internet governance matter and issue? France Telecom is one of the world's leading telecom operators, and more specifically, we are a leading European internet company. We offer a large array of products and services ranging for our ISP, WANADOO, W-A-N-A-D-O-O, and we have a leading European portal, Voila, V-O-I-L-A, voila.com. By the way, it was launched this week in the U.S., so www.voila.com. And we have also a backbone provider, Transpac, web hosting services, and of course, all of this shows why France Telecom involved itself very early in the debate about internet governance. The technical management of names and addresses is a key factor to the success of the internet and is essential to maintain the stability and accessibility of the network. As Mike mentioned earlier, if the DNS system fails, the whole internet could collapse. France Telecom, therefore, welcomed the objective of a stable, comprehensive, and transparent framework from Internet governance based on a consensus of all stakeholders and consistent with the internal scope of the Internet. As a telco representative, and I think I'm the only one in this test bed, I could also attest to the fact that telephone companies have always, since the invention of the telephone, shown a strong interest in numbering issues. In quite a different framework, I must admit, UIT. France Telecom fully supported the process that led to the creation of ICANN, a framework based on bottom-up consensus, governance, and international cooperation, all key factors toward the success of the Internet and its development. Now, when we look backwards and see all the work accomplished by ICANN in such a short time frame, one can only be impressed. Thank you, Esther. Thank you, Mike, all the board members, and all the staff of ICANN. And if I may, as a European, a special thanks to the members from Europe that are not here today. Merci, Géraldine. Merci, Eugenio. And merci, Hans. So, why did we apply to the testbed? As a global telecom provider, we need global solutions, and I will strive to be on the leading edge of the... We wanted to be among the very first players to experiment this new registry framework. We are very proud to have been selected for the testbed. We thank ICANN for the test. We are enthusiastic about this new challenge. Our technical staff, both at Olian, at our R&D center, CNET, Centre National d'Études des Télécommunications, looks forward to work closely with the other testbed registrars, with Network Solutions, with ICANN. I will make any effort necessary to succeed on this crucial step. One last word. 3 years ago, CEO Michel Bon defined a strategy based on the fact that competition will stimulate the overall market in France and benefit France Telecom. This strategy has proven to be successful. Our growth last year was the highest we have had in the last 5 years. I'm sure the same will apply to the domain names market and it will benefit all the players. One last request to ICANN, so if you could increase the size of the Latin alphabet, it will help. Thank you very much.
I think everyone appreciates there's a definite international flavor to our participants. The next speaker is going to be Peter Geron, who is the President and Chief Executive Officer of Melbourne IT.
Thanks, Mike. Good day. Melbourne IT is a company based down under. In the last couple of years, we've managed to become the largest domain name administrator country code domains in the Asia Pacific, as ICANN defines the Asia Pacific, which is to mean the Pacific west of the Americas. We're very honoured to become the first testbed register and the only testbed register from both the Southern Hemisphere and the Asia Pacific. We're also honoured to be in the company of these other fine testbed registers. We are committed to providing better service, lower costs and more choice for customers. In particular, we look forward to providing a high standard of service to the diverse and booming internet market throughout the Asia Pacific region. We'd like to thank the ICANN board and staff and the US Department of Commerce for getting us all to this step. Thank you very much.
Our final speaker of the testbed group, but by no means the least and solely by virtue of the working of the alphabet, is Richard Foreman, who's the president and CEO of Register.com. Rich has been very actively involved in this process, one of the most knowledgeable people about what this is all about in the entire country. Rich.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Rich Foreman. I am the president and CEO of Register.com, and Register.com is based in New York City. I'm going to be brief. First, I would, of course, like to thank ICANN for their efforts and in their continuous forging ahead the deregulation of the domain name market. I've witnessed this process since the beginning, and I've seen the work that they have done, both the board and their staff, in making today come about. And I think that the entire Internet community should truly be appreciative of what they have done. Next, I sincerely want to thank my employees, my board of directors, and my investors for supporting the organization and allowing us to develop and bring us to this historic milestone, which is becoming one of the first five testbed registrars. Finally, I would like to speak directly to Network Solutions executives and employees and ask for their cooperation. We are poised at the doorstep of a very large, exciting, and growing market. And I think that by working together, we will all be able to explain to the consumer what is a domain name, what is the importance of a domain name, and what are the ways that it can be used. And if we are all able to work together, we will collectively create a market that will benefit all of the accredited registrars. The domain name is the first step on the web, and there are many applications that a domain name can be used for. I think that at this point, we are now beginning to see the potential that exists not just for us as registrars, but actually for the entire Internet community. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I'm about to open the floor to questions. I'd like to make a couple of comments before I do that. Several of the companies who are now in the process of being accredited for the post-testbed period here this morning. I'd particularly like to mention the Vario Corporation, and the Virtual Interactive Corporation from London. These people will be happy to talk to you. We at this room is only available to us 11 o'clock, but if you'd like a one-on-one contact with any of us at the head table or any of those people, please just go ahead and approach them. I'd also like to acknowledge that we have a representative from Network Solutions here. Chris, are you around somewhere? There we go. And he'll be also to talk to you. Let's see. In the press packet, let me very briefly mention the materials that we've put together for you. We have a press release. We have a list of both testbed companies as well as all of the other firms that have been accredited for the post-testbed period. We have a rather extensive list of Q&A about this subject, which any of you who realize that complex areas pretty rapidly. And finally, we have given the post-testbed companies an opportunity to give us some material about who they are, which is also in the packet. So with that, I'd be happy to take questions. Yes, ma'am. Would you please identify yourself?
Can you tell us if the applications are public?
The content of the applications? In general, there's trade secret information in the applications that we have pledged to the applicants to respect the confidentiality of. The names, the information about all the companies that have been accredited is here, and they certainly will be willing to provide additional details. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Dennis Moore, Nightly Business Report. At the risk of sounding like I'm defending the old phone company, the monopoly, this was once defined as a natural monopoly. And my curiosity now is, what are you guys going to offer that Network Solutions isn't? Why should I go to Mr. Foreman or Voila or wherever?
Well, I want to give the gentleman to my right an opportunity, but let me just say that as part of the white paper process, it was rather clearly set out that as you look at the commercial side of domain name system around the world, and there are more than 240 top-level domains in existence today, that there's a large variety of business models, and although it's true that in any given domain, the registry function is a sort of a unique thing that there are multiple business models that can be worked around that particular aspect of the system, the technical operational aspect of the system. Would anyone to my left like to comment?
Let me take a whack at this. What economists say, and I think they're right, is that competition creates not just lower prices, but more imagination, more kinds of services, better service. If you're in Japan, maybe you'd like to deal with somebody who is used to speaking in Japanese. And so this is the first step. Clearly, the service business of registering domain names, there's no reason for that to be a monopoly. There are questions about other things, whether or not they should be monopolies, and we're going to deal with those in due course. But we firmly believe, number one, this should not be a monopoly. Number two, it should not be stuck in the United States. And number three, there's an interesting marketplace out there, as people said, where if imaginations run loose, you're going to find exciting new services built around domain names.
As you're doubtless aware, this process has had its share of critics, and along the way, naysayers say there's no way this thing is going to come off by the end of April. Are they wrong? Are they right? Are you confident that by April 26th this will be up and running?
Well, one of our accreditation criteria, and Andrew and these gentlemen have spent a good deal of time on it in the past week, is are you ready? Are you operationally, technically, and actually ready to begin? My answer has been an unequivocal yes. They're meeting tomorrow and Friday. Process on the road.
Can you tell me a little bit about the supporting organizations? Is there a list of candidates or people, groups that have said, yes, we want to be a supporting organization for domains, for IP addresses, for technical candidates?
Let me give you a very quick comment, and you can take that. Me, but the process of forming the one domain name support organization is moving right along since the board took action on it, and to either complete it or very nearly complete that process in Berlin at the board meeting at the end of, and the public meeting at the end of May. Elizabeth.
You mentioned that the five test companies have different business models. Can you describe how you might approach this space?
Well, my comment was to suggest that within the policy parameters that have been established, that how each of the companies use the registration business is, and I think also dealt with that, is compared to a rapidly changing and differentiating market, and so we wanted to make that clear. And would any of you want to comment about that question?
Peter Durant from Melbourne IT. Just to give a sample of what can happen with greater diversity of supply, just within our national domain name system in Australia, my company, when it started operations, became the first domain name administrator in the world to actually provide service performance guarantees. If we didn't register a name in a certain time, we did it anyway at no cost. We also introduced another innovation last year, which we provide checks to the trademarks in Australia, just to warn potential applicants if there's likely to be coincidence to the domain name they're after with already registered names. This is just a sample of possible extra value that the test bed registers and other registers can provide.
Models, as was discussing, CORE has registrars in 23 different countries. Registrars will be using the portal that we've developed with Network Solutions to be able to go immediately. And we'll offer a global scope to this thing. And this just takes it down one more level and makes it that much easier for somebody to get access. And we feel that this is extremely important. There are many parts of the world that I won't say have been ignored, but really haven't had the opportunity to get as involved in the domain name system as they really need to be. And as more creativity develops, I think you're going to find that it's just another form of communication. Look what's happened in the last 20 years as a result of enhanced competition in the communications industry.
Juliana.
I have two questions. First of all, for Andy, what was the interim price for the licensing fee?
There's a $10,000 one-time license fee, and then the registry $9 per registration year, interim price.
And my other question is, when will these companies actually start registering, you know, working with customers and start registering names? I mean, you said the test is 6, but when will they actually be customers?
That each of these companies will have some announcements to make about that. I mean, they after all, have only had about 3 days to get prepared to come here participate in this press conference. And they're here with their technical people, and they're going to be nailing down a lot of those details in the next 72 hours. Jerry.
For Mr. Stubbs. You talked about the 23 companies that you'll be working with. Are these the same companies that applied with Emergent? And is the portal you're talking about the Emergent?
We'll be using Network Solutions, access to the shared registry system, but we have our own proprietary software that we'll be using to allow our members to work through us.
Is that part of Emergent? Are you guys working with Emergent, or is Emergent totally separate?
This was developed by us in Europe.
And are these companies ones that paid like $10,000 a year ago when CORE was pushing its own plan? Or is that Emergent? I'm just trying to clarify what happened between CORE and Emergent.
Well, Emergent was a one-time vendor for CORE in developing software, that's all, from that standpoint.
Okay.
And the companies that we're referring to are our CORE registrars, and include many companies that you're familiar with. If you'd like to take a look at our website, we have a list of all of our current members on there.
But only some of them will be participating in this
study. No, they've been offered the opportunity. Some of the members, all of the CORE registrars have been offered the opportunity to participate. Mm-hmm. Some of them have elected to move quicker than other ones. And that's because we're an association of people, of individuals. Many of our registrars are currently operating in a registrar capacity for country codes, and many are also currently premier partners in Network Solutions. So, practical standpoint, each one of these organizations will work at their own pace and will work on their own timetable. And there will be probably circumstances where registrars may elect initially to work through us with the idea that eventually they'll set up as independent working directly on a contract with Network Solutions in the final phase. Many of them will use us, but we also have a significant number of our registrars who will continue to work through us as the, I use the term portal, I'm not technically qualified, as a lot of people in this room, but they'll work through us in dealing with that.
Let's see, we had a question over here.
Fred Donovan with Telecom Reports. How does the test period relate to the post period when you have all these other companies? Are you going to select one model that they're all going to follow, or are you going to let them all set up their own domain space where they're going to register companies? Or how is that going to
Well, the fundamental relationship between, as part of the government, the network, the government, is to separate what has been an integrated registrar operation, Network Solutions, into two separate entities. And the registry
function is specified through the technically through the shared registry system, the so-called SRS. On the outside of that, the registrars will have their own technical capability, and they will tailor that to their marketplace and their needs and how they perceive they can grow their business. Is that responsive to your question?
I think you also just asked the same three top-level domains, .com, .net, and .org.
Okay, I think that's being tested in the test period is the shared registry system software that NSI has developed. What we're testing is the ability of the registrars feeding into a single registry, and so the test is not or works before we open it up to a broader number of competitors. As Mike said, on the other side of that interface, the registrars will have the ability to adopt whatever business model, value-added services, discount services that they...
There was a question. I don't want to neglect the people who aren't in the front row. Yes, sir.
I am Sandeep Jarankar with CNetsNews.com. I just wanted to ask about the $9 per registration per year fee. And that the talks are still going on with NSI, and trying to get a sense of what are the costs that are involved. Why is this so difficult to nail down what the costs are?
Well, there are... One of the issues that relates to costs, first of all, it's just any time you have a cost analysis, it takes some time to go through. This is a new enterprise, figuring out exactly what's in the box called registry, and we didn't want to delay the test period to work that out, so we just agreed to set a price for the test period and continue those discussions. Another relevant question is the time horizon for which NSI will be operating as registry, because that obviously affects the time for recoupment of costs. And so one of the things that will also be going on during this period are discussions between NSI and ICANN, developing a contractual relationship that may clarify that and so bring more certainty to the pricing.
Over here, please.
Hi, it's Mary Mascara from TechWeb. I was wondering if you have any plan of how people on the web will know that you are available to domain name addresses. Will there be any type of marketing as a group or from ICANN? Because there are a lot of businesses that want to come on the web and they may not know that they have a choice now.
But that's a subject that's currently under discussion. Certainly the names of these companies and the fact that they've been selected is already on our website as we hold this conference.
But I would like to add, that's what we're talking about here, competition. And those who are the best marketers and most effectively promote interesting, appealing services will be the ones who get the most customers. And so this is not a cooperative, it's a collaborative right now, but these five people are not a co-op.
Right here.
Follow-up on her question, sort of the extension of that problem is the problem of either putting the range into the area of consumer fraud already with existing just networks, people who had to be sort of slapped down because they were charging additional amounts of money and people did not know where to go. Will there be some sort of master list of people who are sort of primary ICANN sanctioned groups or something? Some way, people are not going to know to go to the ICANN website. They're not going to know to go to core website. There must be some way of getting to these.
Each country has its own Consumer Protection Federal Trade Commission. If you are found guilty of fraud, that's a breach of the accreditation rules, and so those people will be taken out of business. But we're not a consumer protection agency. Consumer protection agencies do exist, and we'll work with them.
Crack at this. Right now, the way that generic domain names are getting registered is through thousands of service providers from across the world submit registrations to network solutions using standard templates. So when you say, you know, how are people going to find out, most people go to a local service provider or a computer consultant or a web designer in order to get a domain name today. So I don't think that the issue you bring up is really much of a concern. I don't think people necessarily go directly to any one registrar or registry because they know it. They closest to them and say, how can I get a domain name?
I'm going to give Ken a chance. As you get to follow up, I will follow up and elaborate a little bit more. I think you have amongst the registrars here a diverse enough group with enough of an interest of communicating to the world that we are going to be available, that we will be viable options. And I think you'll find that there'll be a lot more in the way of creative communication to get the word out to these people. And I think we aren't just going to rely on somebody to do it for us. And I'm speaking for CORE, but I'm sure that these people would say exactly the same.
Yes, I would just add for France Telecom that that's the reason I mentioned the portal, voila, and I'd like to add that this portal has a many language version, and that's one of the way we're going to make it known. And also on our main website, www.francetelecom.fr.
Yes, I'd like to mention in that connection, since it hasn't come up so far, and that is that among the both the testbed and the post-testbed group are companies that either currently or prospectively will be offering registration services in non-English alphabet and interfaces. Let's see, we have a couple of questions in the back I'd like to give those people. The lady right underneath the light.
How soon is it likely that ICANN will consider the addition of new top-level domains?
That's on our agenda. We, of course, have a lot of things on our agenda, and we get asked that question a lot. The board's discussed it. We're looking forward to the accreditation process being a condition. We are certainly looking forward, as many of you are aware, to the WIPO report on domain names and trademarks, which is expected to be issued before the end of April. And if it is, it will be a subject of discussion at our meeting in Berlin at the end of May. The board will be discussing a timetable for undertaking review of TLD expansion at that meeting in Berlin. Let's see. Jerry? I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is for Mr. Keegan. Back to the cost issue. And I understand that at least one other company has submitted a proposal to Commerce to run a shared registry for just a couple of dollars a name per year. Can you confirm that? If not, if you can address the question of when and if you will consider putting the shared registry out to bid, or is it if Network Solutions locked into this until 2000? Just trying to get a feel for that.
Well, we have an agreement with Network Solutions that expires at the end of September 2000.
Can't you phase it out before that if you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that I want to get into the specific legalities of that. All kinds of terrible things could happen, but we've certainly, in the last 8 months, negotiated Amendment 11 successfully with Network Solutions. We negotiated the two things, as I said, that we needed to do to get the testbed going. So I'm not prepared to say now that coming to a conclusion with respect to the longer-term price and other issues that we'll be discussing for the post-test period is not possible. I think that's the likely, based on what's happened in the past, that's the most likely outcome.
I'd like to put a little bit of a postscript on my comment to Kathleen, because I don't want to be opaque about this. For those of you who haven't been following this last year's process forming ICANN, one of the structural aspects of ICANN is that there are three support organizations that are charged with providing expert advice
experience and background to us on major policy issues. One of those organizations is called the Domain Name Support Organization. It will probably be the first of the three to be formed and functioning, and it's very unlikely that the board would consider expansion of the TLD space without study and recommendations from the Domain Name Support Organization as part of that process.
And Jerry, just to finish that, you know, the Amendment 11 requires that the cap be set with reference to the cost and reasonable rate of return. That's obviously something, an obligation we take very seriously. Will be the focus of the discussions that we have with Network Solutions during the test period.
Okay, two PSs. Let's see.
Right.
Somebody who has a chance. Yes, sir.
Kiyoshi Ando of Nikkei newspaper. Can each of the companies tell us how much you have invested to get into this new business and how long it will take to be profitable?
I'm sorry, but I can't answer that question. And I think probably everyone else here is probably in the same ballpark that we're not, at least from my perspective, we're a private company. Our financial results are private, and we can't release that. But there are some public companies.
I will take one more second and elaborate on this. As you have been told, there have been ongoing negotiations with Network Solutions and the e-commerce department regards Amendment Number 11. Information that arose as a result of these negotiations has just been given to us very shortly ago. And many of us have business plans that needed some additional slots to be filled in. From a practical standpoint, none of us, to the best of my knowledge, have been exposed at all yet. We shared registry solutions has. So we have to take a very close look at the infrastructure requirements that they mandate on us. Because please remember, we are accredited by ICANN, right, under an agreement with Network Solutions. So until we've had an opportunity these things. And please remember again that the Commerce Department has indicated that this is a 60-day interim agreement. If you would like to tell me what I will be charged 6 months from now for registration for Network Solutions, I will be more than happy to give you a much clearer answer to your question.
Prof Telecom is a public company, but usually I try to avoid presenting my strategy in presence of my main competitors.
Oh, why not? Have fun. It's a great question, and as you can tell, there is no answer to it. But stay tuned. But I think you raised all of the questions here, if I can just make a general comment here, because I know you need to close, is that, you know, what this is about is, you know, we're all building kind of confidence and trust with each other. This is all new. You know, we're figuring this out on the fly. It's internet time. This is you're watching internet time as we're sitting here and as the phones are ringing, which is that, you know, we don't know where this is all going. The U.S. government had the foresight to say, let's move this thing into the private sector. Let's foster competition. That's what's happening here today. That's the beginning of this step. We're so early in this game as a global medium that who knows how this is going to play out. But so far what we've seen, if you just look at AOL, which has been, you know, supposedly, you know, killed off umpteen times in the last 4 years, when you have competition, people innovate. And when people innovate, consumers benefit. And consumers will benefit when this medium becomes a truly global mass medium. That's what these five people are here today to start. And we look forward to working with NSI to really roll out true competition. Everybody wins.
We're just about out of time. I'm going to take one more question. Before I do that, let me just say that there's a statement from Secretary Daley that's available the rear that has come along. And Mr. Sean Garrett right here from our Alexander Ogilvie will be happy to coordinate interviews and so forth with you. And let's see, right here.
Thank you.
I just want to know whether the official site for the registrars will be internet.net or will NSI be allowed, and will NSI be allowed to point that site to their own homepage?
Well, I think you're aware that the whole question of future of internet has been both discussed, and the site has undergone a number of changes in the past few weeks. We expect Commerce and Network Solutions and others to come up with a cleaner resolution of that very shortly.
Yeah, I can add from our perspective that the topic we will be discussing with Network Solutions, and that for our part we're eager that it be used as a site that that has a link to all of the accredited registrars. Well, that's what we have to work out between us.
Well, thank you very much.